Davin's End. We're going to try to get this resolved. Our station, davinsend.com, is still down, which also means that you can't listen to us on Talk Superstation right now or Cyanet, but you should be able to get us on or our TuneIn app. You can't listen to us on the TuneIn app, but you should be able to listen to us on hawkradio.net, the indie authority, ruthlessradio.fm. I know there's a couple of other ones. What are the other ones? Is that all the other ones, Joe?
I can't get on the page. Won't let me get in.
Can't get on the website now?
I can't get on the website. I'm on the website, but when you go into the Listen Live, you can't get in there to show.
No, you don't have to go to Listen Live. You have to go to the homepage. You scroll down to the homepage, Joe, and then you see all of our, underneath our little heads, you see our affiliates. You see hawkradio.net. Oh, all right, Gorn Rogue Radio. Right, that's another one that takes our feed. Can't listen to us to them on there tonight, but you can listen live, should you choose, on hawkradio.net, ruthlessradio.fm. I got
The Indie Authority.
Yeah, you can listen to us on theindieauthority.com. That's on our website, so you just scroll down. So that's where you can listen to us tonight. I got to tell.
Cyanet. Did you mention Cyanet?
Can't listen to us there because they take our feed.
Oh, okay.
So anybody that takes our feed, we are not on. So, but if they don't, but there are stations that don't take our feed, so then you can listen there. So we are live for some people. If not, the replay will be up tomorrow. So let me just text Derek or Facebook Derek, and then I will run this show. So, Joe, I'm sure you thought of something to regale the audience with.
I most certainly did. I was thinking of Louis C.K.'s monologue on SNL. People got bent out of shape on that.
Because they're people, and they want to be upset about something.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, it's Louis C.K. That's what the guy does. You know, I mean, he's very edgy, man. That's why I like him.
I saw the bit. It wasn't that edgy.
Yeah.
No, he was talking about, like, you know, how tempting it must be for pedophiles. Because, you know, having the life of a pedophile in prison is not a good life. How tempting it must be for these pedophiles to know that they're going to have a horrible life and still to, you know, go after these children. Mm. He was talking about that. It really wasn't that big of a deal. But I guess to some people it was, because it's Outrage Nation.
Yeah, everybody's outraged. Everybody's got their own thing to say. And and that's like with social media. It's people, you know, now have a chance to bitch, and everybody's got something to say. And everybody, if somebody feels upset, then they could just go out and they could say it, and everybody can chime in.
Yeah, well, everybody's always had an opinion. Now we just all get to hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means they get to hear our opinion, which is fine, too.
Yes.
See, Joe, I'm on our website, and you go to Listen to Chat Live. It's just not connecting to the feed, but people, you can go in the chat room.
Yeah, no, I'm in the chat. I'm in the chat.
Yeah, but the link is there. But anyway, all right, enough of that.
All right, I think they can go into the Hawk. I think Lisa got it to Hawk.
Yeah, Hawk's working. Yeah. I told you can listen on indieauthority.com, hawkradio.net, and ruthlessradio.fm. All of them are carrying us live and are fine. It's just our website. Davinsend.com.
Joe's Grill got on Hawk Radio, so everybody go on Hawk Radio.
It's as good a place as any. We love the Hawk Radio. All right, enough of that. So besides being outraged about this situation, which now means one more thing I have to do, I was, you know, this whole Little League thing, here's the best part about Little League, coaching these Little League kids. It's the kids. The adults suck. And if the adults suck, it makes me worry about how the kids are going to be. Because right now I'm dealing with these little 6 to 9-year-old kids, and they're pretty freaking awesome. I mean, they're wise asses and whatnot, but they're pretty freaking awesome. But the parents and the other, I get annoyed.
So what happened this week?
So there's this traveling Little League team in town that plays various tournaments in the summer. So it has like 15 kids on the team. It's the best of the best of the 8-year-olds and under. The who's who's. I don't know. This was news to me until a few weeks ago that such a thing existed. But the coach of one of the other teams put it together. She's all into softball and everything. You could tell her team. They're like all, they're the best team in our little 3-team division and everything. And they're all into it. And she had this team. Whatever. She's really hardcore softball. She's the one that coached fall ball and put together winter ball. You know, she's all into it. You know, she happens to like women. So, you know, it's not real. Well, I mean, it's stereotypical.
Yeah.
She's got the short hair. She used to play in a co-ed men's league, too. She played college softball. She's got two wonderful little girls. And the other woman sells granola. I mean, it's just so effing stereotypical. But she's really cool. I mean, she's cool. She has, like, the same passion that I do, like, the drive to win.
Right.
And she wants the kids to learn the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the one who I coached football with. But it's right out of central casting.
Right.
it's like you see, you go, yeah, that makes sense. So I called her a couple weeks ago because I was upset about the situation, which I shared with everybody last week,
mm-hmm.
about my assistant coach and everything.
Right.
So she goes, hey, you know, by the way, I got a 2 spot. You know I have this team? I'm like, no, I'd heard things, but I really don't know anything about. So she explains to me what it is. It's super competitive and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like the instructional league, which I'm coaching now, where everybody gets to play.
Right.
You know, this is the best best kids play position, that type of thing and everything. So she had two spots open. And she asked me if I could recommend a couple of kids. I recommended my daughter and another girl on our team. I recommended my daughter, not because she's my daughter, but the truth is she's the second best player on our team.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just getting better and better at mm-hmm. it. I mean, she's really starting to drive the ball now. She always made contact,
right?
Which is a big accomplishment for these kids.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much you make contact.
Well, yeah, because it's, you know, hand-eye contact.
Right.
Ball,
yeah.
Right. Very tough.
Yeah, she's always had the hand-eye coordination, but now she's starting to drive the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she laced one down the – she pulled one down the left field line this past game for her first double, a line drive into the outfield. Game before that, she had a line drive up the middle where she almost nailed the coach. So she's really doing well. And she's one of my best fielders.
Right.
And she's got a really good arm. You know, so, and this is only her second year of playing. She didn't play before last year mm-hmm. and everything. I mean, I would toss the ball around with her a little bit, but certainly not organized. Some of these kids have been playing 3, 4, 5 years already. So,
mm-hmm.
so this happens to be something that she has a natural proclivity for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she likes a lot of different things. She likes art. She likes music. You know, she's doing the karate and everything. But this seems to be the thing where she has a natural talent.
Right.
And I don't push her into it. I pushed her to play last year. I didn't push her anything else, but she wanted to do the fall ball. She wanted to do the pitching clinic. She wanted to take the hitting class. She wanted to play the winter ball. This isn't stuff I said. I said, you can do this if you want. And she said, okay, I want to do it. Okay. So I say, but, you know, the thing with my daughter is, I think she, you know, sometimes she doesn't listen to me. Because, like, we tell all the kids to get in ready position, and she just kind of stands there. Ready position is an athletic position where your knees are bent, your glove is down, your hand's down. So if you get a ground ball.
Oh, I got you. Right.
You get a ground ball, it's a lot easier than if you're standing around and look like you're waiting for a bus.
Right.
So my daughter, you know, I'll tell her, you know what, get in ready position. I'll tell the team get in ready position. And the other kids do. Some of them look like they're hatching an egg, and I tell them, I go, you better not hatch an egg on my field and everything. But my daughter will just stand there with her legs kind of spread, glove by your side and everything. Not really listening, but she makes the plays. So it's like she can make the plays, but she doesn't want to listen.
It's kind of defiant. Be
yes.
in ready position. You really, do I need to be stupid?
Yes. Yes. And if you talk to her, not just even me, but like the other coaches, if you talk to her and everything, she'll just stare right through you. She won't acknowledge it, which I've done, which I do to people.
Uh-oh, it's that gene. She's got that gene.
Yeah, and I realize I do it, and it pisses people off. Like, I remember, like, when I was pledging, or, like, when I was being coached, let's say you got a coach in your face, or an older brother, you know, an older fraternity brother in your face, and then, and you're just staring. You're not saying anything. You're not mocking them. You're not smiling. You're not laughing. You're just staring right ahead. You're just giving them a stone face. You're processing, maybe.
Yeah, you're sitting there, so advised, fuck you, so advised, no, so advised, I'll consider that next time, yeah, right.
Yes.
Right.
But certainly not an outward F you, and certainly not an outward acknowledgement of I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I'm comprehending. It's none of that. And it pisses people off. It pisses me off.
Right.
So I tell her, I go, let me talk to my daughter. I go, if she's into it, you know, and I'm going to explain to her that she's got to, you know, she has to listen, and that this is, you know, this is the best of the best, the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, okay. So I go out, I tell my daughter and everything. I go, this is what's involved. Do you want to do this or not? You know, it's going to involve a couple weekends because it's going to be expensive and everything. Got to drive the kids an hour and a half. Got to pay for uniforms. Got to pay for tournaments. Blah, blah, blah. Everything's always money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gathering around and playing kickball like we used to do.
Yeah.
So she wants to do it. I go, okay. Tell the coach. I go, yeah, she's in. She's going to do it. So then we have a game later on that afternoon, and my daughter has another good game, and my daughter, again, is not listening to me. You know, Skylar, get in ready position. Stands there with her legs like, you know, like in a V. you know, glove by your side, like, F you, I got this, and everything, which is so fun. And I told her, I go, if I'm going to coach this team, you got to be one of the leaders on the team.
Right.
I said, because you know what? I need you. You're one of the older kids. I need you to be one of the leaders. This is before I knew she was one of the best kids on the team. And she said, yes, Daddy, of course. So then she has another good game. So then the coach is out there scouting this other coach. We weren't playing them. So I bring her up to the coach. I say, well, you know, she's going to coach you and everything. And I tell the coach, I go, tell her what's expected of her and everything. Tell her what needs to be done and everything. So she tells her, my daughter, you know, kind of straight ahead, maybe acknowledged, sort of. Certainly more than I get out of her.
Mm-hmm.
certainly more of acknowledgement than I get out of her. So, okay, so I'm supposed to get an email following up, letting me know when the tournaments are and everything. Wait several days, don't get the email. So I email her back. I go, hey, you know, just want to know what's going on. I didn't get the email. Oh, I decided to take another kid instead of yours because I need all the kids to give 100%. Joe is silent, and now for a good reason. I was pissed because she had already told my daughter she was on the team. No comment. You can comment.
What a bullshit move. So he told her.
She.
So she told her that she was on the team.
She told me she was on the team. I told my daughter she was on the team.
And she told you after this game or?
Beforehand. This was all done deal. And then after this, I wanted to give my daughter a little pep talk so my daughter understood. But I told her, I go, let me talk to her and I'll let you know if she's in, you know, what's involved. And I did.
She's a comedy booker?
I don't think the local news station is going to do a story on it, Joe.
I don't understand why people don't tell you if something is not going to happen or call you or let you know. Why don't you let you know? And also, the part of this is instruction. If for some reason, I don't want to cut you off, but if she felt that your daughter wasn't up to snuff or saw something that concerned her, she should have spoke to your daughter or she should have spoke to you.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. My daughter would actually be one of the best kids on this team. That's how good my daughter's got. She's not the best kid on my team yet. They already got the best kid on my team. That kid's above everybody else, you know, as far as her ability and everything. But my kid, be one of the best kids on the team. I know that. I know that. She's got a good arm. She can catch the ball. And she can hit.
But there was something that this woman saw.
Right. Well, she saw my daughter standing there defiantly. But here's the thing. My daughter always gives 100%. And I told her, I go, you know what? I'm considering now. And before she said, before I got this email, I told her on the phone, I go, I'm considering not coaching next year because I almost think my daughter will respond better to somebody else. Because I see how she is with Sensei Ferdico. At Family Martial Arts, she always listens, very respectful, and the other instructors there.
I think in that situation, and it's weird because in that situation, you know, Russ wants respect. You know how Russ runs. You know, everything's respect and, you know, accountability to oneself.
Well, Sensei Fredico's also not daddy to my daughter.
I understand. So that's something that she learned, but in the context of being in her, you know, in the school. This might be something where it's out of that, where it's a different situation where your daughter is being, you know, is doing very well and she's getting kind of cocky. And when you get kind of cocky, there is an instance when you make a mistake or something happens when somebody comes up to you and goes, all right, see, this is what happens when you hot dog it or you don't listen. This is a situation. Now, it would have been a good learning situation for her if this woman told you from the beginning why your daughter might not make the team or why she didn't make the
team.
Exactly. Not stringing you along. You could sit down with her and go, all right, look, you didn't make the team. Well, you are, but here's the deal. You have to listen. You can't sit there like you're a hot dog because it's going to happen in life and happen right now. When you're on a team, you act like you're on a team. When the coach tells you to be in position, I don't care or you don't care what they say. It's the coach. It's the ball. You get in that ready position because it's going to affect you playing. You could be the best player in the world. It's a team sport, dear. It's not you alone. You need to work.
I don't want to paint the picture that she's not a team player. She's a team player.
I understand that, but but that's a learning situation right there where you need to know that how you act, regardless of what you're doing, besides your talent, how you act besides your talent could affect you in some
ways.
Well,
it's weird. It's weird because there's certainly that lesson which needs to be taught.
But it wasn't. But
then I'm going to get back to it. But then there's me who has been defiant his whole life. You know, I've carved out my own path. So, I mean, there's kind of that I like, too. But she does have to listen. And she, but the thing is, every other situation, she listens.
But here's the deal. You know, you say, well, that's the way. But, all right, that's fine. However, you have told her, regardless of how you are, you've told her, be in the ready position. Be ready to go.
Well, here's the thing.
It's not something that you're not recognizing.
Since that conversation that day, I mean, she's still not perfect. She still doesn't always do it. But she's listening more.
Well, that's good because this is when they learn.
Right,
this is
exactly.
From life experiences.
But now, she's like, well, I'm just telling you. She's like, well, if my kids, you know, didn't give 100%, you know, I wouldn't have them on my team. I'm like thinking, my daughter gives 100%. My daughter doesn't walk or not try. She just wasn't one to get in ready position. That's really the only thing. Or if a coach coaches her, she gives that dead stare.
But this is a conversation that should have been after the situation on the field, right after the situation that was on the field, not with you calling like, you know, it was some gig or something like that. You're trying to get a straight answer for.
Right.
There's a right way and a wrong way. For you having to call and find out so much after the fact totally diffuses a learning situation.
Right.
Which could have been properly handled.
Well, I mean, now here the thing is, still haven't told my daughter yet. So now we're like in because if my daughter asks, I'm going to have to tell her, well, the coach didn't like your attitude. I'll read her the email and everything. But I'm kind of hoping at this point that my daughter forgets about it, you know, because.
Well, how much time has gone by?
Probably a week and a half now. Let's see. Yeah, a week and a half now.
All right. And has she played on the other team? Yeah, she played over the weekend, right?
Yeah, but not that other team. We play them.
But how did she play? Was she still listening? And
I mean, listen, I mean, she's better. You know, she's better. She, you know, the kid has achy legs. I think she's going through growing pains or shin splints. So there's always an excuse. The kid's got more excuses. But then I'll say, well, do you want to sit down? No. Do you want somebody to run for you? No. I go, all right, then run. Stop complaining. You know, so kids got, here's the thing that's so frustrating. This kid actually really enjoys it, and she has a natural ability. Why not?
That works.
Just weird noises from the plumbing in. it's just a shame to that she won't be able to do this because she does do better when she's with people that are better than her or as good as her because she plays up. Like in karate, when she got moved up to the advanced family class, which has less little kids and more adults, she was learning quicker and everything. She rises to the occasion. It's like when she's playing softball and everything, she'll quickly get two strikes on her, and I'll say, relax, just breathe, relax, she'll get a hit. When I'm when doing batting practice, she swings and misses all the time. All
right.
But in the game, she whacks the ball.
Right, so this is
she's a
do.
Clutch player.
So this is what you do. I mean, let her go a couple of games, right? If you're still going, Skylar, get in ready position, and she's not doing it, on the way home, we need to have a little chat.
I've had the chat. Her mother's had the chat. But you know what? I had to
remember. But have you used the example? Look, that one thing, they didn't like that you weren't.
She doesn't know yet. I mean, I did. I talked to her a couple weeks ago. Another coach was instructing her.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, I go, Skylar, listen, acknowledge him. And everything. Like I told her at the moment, because he was like trying to help her and everything. One of the coaches on our team. And, you know, she does that dead-eye stare that I have.
But then she's going to have to learn it's going to cost her.
Well, that's it. That'll be the lesson.
If she still is doing that, you know, you're going to have to talk with her on the way home and say, look, you can't do – the reason you didn't make that was because of that – of that cockiness.
Well, the thing is, though, there's a way to handle. The coach should not have told me my daughter's on the team, so that I told my daughter.
They were totally wrong in doing that. And the problem with that is, for that behavior of that, you know, the way that was handled, it kind of diffuses, you know, the lesson that could have been learned here. I mean, it was done totally wrong.
Well, that's what pisses me off. I mean, these are people, you know, they're
but everybody's afraid to hurt everybody's feelings. And because the woman was afraid to tell, might have been afraid to upset you, that she felt that she was being cocky on the field. And because of that,
I told her she was.
You know, she declined to maybe make a point of it and just dragged it along. If some, you know, it's like.
But don't tell me the kid's on the team. Don't tell me, because now I'm telling my kid. Because I think I even mentioned on the air last week.
But you did. Did you mention to the woman? But you did tell me she was on the team.
Yes.
And her response again? I'm sorry.
It's like, oh, I only have 15 spots. I go, well, I thought you had two open ones. Well, I took this one and that one.
But you only had so if you only had 15 spots and you realized it, why did it take over a week for you to get back to me?
It's cowardice.
That's when you got a question. That's when you question.
But that's what I'm dealing with. I just can't take this.
You deserve you deserve an answer.
I know. And you know what? Honestly, it's forget about me. It's wrong to do to my kid. It's wrong to say, you know what? You're a coach. You coached him up. That's what you do. You know, she's coached my daughter before, you know, in fall ball and whatever. She knows who my daughter is. And my daughter's just better now. But you got to coach that out of her. You know what you do on that field? If she doesn't listen to you on that field, you pull her off. I've had my daughter almost in tears, you know, on the field because I was chewing into her. I'll lace into my own kid more than I can another kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I walked up to my daughter, the game's going on, and, you know, calmly spoke to her so nobody could see and everything. But, yeah, I've told her, I go, if you don't do X, I'm going to pull you off this field. Mm-hmm. So you do it.
Yeah.
And she does. My daughter does not like to be embarrassed.
No, nobody does.
Nobody does.
You know, but it could have. Here's the deal. The woman gave you this excuse that there was, you know, the roster was filled. She shouldn't have
told
you
that.
It's
not even an excuse because my kid was supposed to be one of the 15.
I understand.
Fill one of those last two spots.
Yeah, but if she, you know, it's her timing that she should have told, you know, told you that. Should have been told the next day.
You know what? Once you say the kid's on the team, the kid's on the team. You figure it out. You know, and the thing is, my kid will help them win. If she was playing, my kid will help them win because mm-hmm. she can hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's really starting to hit, and she can field. I mean, I don't. You know me. I don't brag on. Like, I know what her limitations are. She has a bunch of activities mm-hmm. that she likes to do and everything. But I know what she's natural at. She's actually natural at this because she does not have a lot of the training that a lot of these other kids do.
Mm-hmm.
She's just got the hand-eye coordination to hit that ball hard up the middle.
But you got to realize, if she's got that hand-eye coordination, if she's going to look like she's got an attitude and a 100-yard stare when somebody's trying to give her instructions, it's going to be a problem.
And that will be the lesson.
That will be the lesson, yes.
But but the lesson's also, I guess, don't trust people when they give you their word. I guess that's also the lesson.
How long you been in the entertainment business?
I know. I know this, but it's another thing to tell my kid.
I understand that.
You know.
I understand that. But did you explain to this woman, how do I explain to this kid that was told she's going to be on the team is not going to be on the team now?
That's pretty much my problem.
Pretty much your problem?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't respond back to my last email, but it's like, yeah, I said, I don't know what I'm going to tell her. Yeah. Yeah, these kids, they wash their hands. That's what, you know, here's the thing. It's with the rabbi and with these other people. They want to seem like they're wonderful, but nobody wants to do any dirty work. Part of being a human being is sometimes you have to do dirty work and people think a little less of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do the hard things.
Right.
You know, we've had hard decisions on this show mm-hmm. or just in life and everything where you got to say, you know, if you take a leadership position, part of being a leader, besides everybody looking up to you and thinking what a swell guy you are or gal you are, sometimes you're going to break some eggs. Sometimes some people are going to be upset with you. That comes with the job.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want that part of the job.
Yeah, well, it's not the fun part of the job, but I'd still. When are you going to see this woman again?
I think tomorrow, because I think we have a meeting where all the Little League managers have to come. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I would speak to her in private tomorrow. I would speak to her. You got to address.
What am I going to say? Listen, you fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. And it's not like you know, it's my girl. She should be on the team. You told me she was on the team. Here's the deal. She should be on the team. Also, you waited a week through emails to even get back to me.
Yeah, you blew it off.
You blew it off.
Don't say you forgot. You can't forget.
Yeah.
Forget's never an excuse. People like to say, I forgot, like that's an excuse.
So I would ask her, since you made that move and you dragged your feet a week, explain to me how I'm going to tell my daughter. I would ask her, explain to me How are you going to tell my daughter? You know what? I've got a with problem customers. We were dealing with one guy today who's mm-hmm. who was always been a pain in the ass. So we're trying to get an order to him delivered. And he's like, you know, I'm sick of this shit. Now you people are this and blah. I go, I have helped you. I have figured stuff out. I have pulled rabbits out of a hat for you. I go, I want you to tell me right now what more I could do. I'm giving you the floor. What more? You're complaining. What more could I do right now? After everything I've done for the past week to help you out, let me know right now. Because this guy's just too much. And I go, and I hear silence. And I go, right, exactly. So let them answer the question. Let them answer the question. Because if they have to answer the question, they have to think about it.
Nobody wants to think. They just want the easy way out.
But you don't give them the easy way out.
Well, I'm just gonna have to pull it. I go, listen, the way you handle that was really wrong.
It was.
We discussed it. I told you what the situation was. You said that she's on the team. I told you she was good to go. I had the conversation with her. She's getting better and better, and now she's not going to be on the team after you said she was, and then you give me some lame thing you forgot. Plus, she would help you win. You said it's competitive. I'm going to tell her. I go, I'm going to say she'll be one of your better players.
You have no problem at all calling me on the carpet, calling other people on the carpet. Why are you drawing the line here?
Because it involves my kid.
I understand that.
Because this woman's going to coach my kid in the future, whether it be fall ball and stuff like that.
And you're also another
coach. And because it's something that I have to ask my wife's opinion on.
I understand.
Yelling at you, I don't need to ask anybody's opinion. I could yell at you, card blotch.
But it's just as another coach. You can't, you got to remember and you got to forget. What do I tell my daughter?
Well, that's exactly.
And let me tell you something. There's a lesson to learn. There's a lesson here for everyone. You know why? Because next time she decides to put somebody on her team, she's going to think again that she better make up her mind. And if she screwed up, better watch what she says right from the beginning. And if she changes her mind and there's a problem, let the other person know immediately and not forget. And not forget, because, you can't do that. So not only are you, there's a lesson for your daughter, it's a lesson for her, because she's coaching other kids. And you're a coach, and you're representing coaching all these kids. So if there's another coach that's not doing something that they should be, you got to point it out. Ironically, it's your kid, but nonetheless, that's the way it's got to be handled. You're dealing with kids, once again, you're dealing with kids. All right, I need to remember what I say, I need to think before I say it, and I need to follow up if there's a problem. Done. And that's what and that's what they need to know.
Yeah, well, it's easier said than done. You know, I don't like dealing with people as it is. And now because I'm coaching, I'm forced to deal with people in town. You know, I never left my house before, except when I was running errands. I liked it that way.
I understand that. I wish I could stay in my house all day.
Well, somebody doesn't want you there.
I understand that. Out I go.
But it's like it's just another pain in the ass for people who can't handle their own shit that I got to deal with.
Any group situation, there is a load of antics. I mean, like I said, with bands, it's like, there's all sorts of things that crop up that drive you. Everything is going great. Now there's a problem. I mean, in our band, it's been, just a cavalcade of antics. Me included. I'm not even going to separate myself. But, it's just any group situation, there's always drama, there's always, a fiasco, but it's the bottom line is if the kids are learning and the kids are having a good time, okay? So you have to think about all that nonsense, and that is the bottom factor. If your daughter can learn a lesson out of this, why should it make the team? It's going to make her more aware.
Well, maybe I'm doing something right, because I don't know. Like, my parents came to watch my daughter play on Sunday, mm-hmm. and I guess one of the parents said, not knowing that they're my parents, mm-hmm. and everything goes, he's a really good coach. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe, I work hard with these kids.
Right.
But then I wonder, I go, well, maybe they're just improving. Maybe it has nothing to do with me. I don't know. But my daughter said, well, the kids are happy mm-hmm. and everything. So, I do the best I can with it.
Well, be a good coach. Be a good coach.
I try to be.
Be a good coach, and be a good coach to other coaches around you. Pull her aside, explain what was going on. If your daughter asks, explain why she didn't make the team. You've straightened out a potential future situation with this coach with another kid, and your daughter has learned a life lesson that, you could be as good as you could be as real, as good as you are, but you have to learn to work in the confines of the team, and you have to listen to a coach. You have to listen to a boss.
But like I said, we've been handling that, and she's been getting better. So it's like, you know, and I told the coach what the situation was ahead of time. Because I was being forthright and saying, well, listen, this is what she needs and everything. I think this will be a good experience for her.
It will be.
But now it won't be. But whatever.
Well, it will be, because she'll always have that. She'll have that in the back of her mind. And I guarantee, if you do have to address it, when she comes out and when she goes back and out to that field, she'll be in that ready position.
Yeah. She still doesn't know I don't talk to her rabbi. So anyway.
How's that working out?
We'll see in a couple of weeks when she graduates. We've got to figure that one out. Wife's got to hobble up the stairs. She's having surgery next week.
Yeah.
I got to drop her off and then come back.
Really?
Yeah.
And was she having it on Tuesday?
No, it's not on a Tuesday.
Oh.
It's on a Sunday.
Oh, Sunday?
Okay. Yeah. Who cares?
This Sunday?
No, not this Sunday.
Oh, a week from this Sunday.
No, she's got to graduating in June. Relax.
Oh, okay.
I'll let you know.
I thought your wife's surgery.
Oh, my wife's surgery is on Wednesday.
Okay. Oh, this Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck with
that. Not tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Next Wednesday.
Yeah, so she's going to be around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it that way.
It sure sounded that way.
No, it's just going to be different. It means I have no place to be alone. I like to be alone.
Yeah.
I get along with people in spurts. You know that.
Yes.
But anyway, so my dad just had his 70th birthday.
Oh, good.
So I got him. We talked about, years ago, how it'd be cool, like, to see different baseball fields in the United States. So we've seen, we went to Fenway a couple years ago up in Boston and everything. Obviously, Citi Field, Chase Stadium, old Yankee Stadium. I've been to some other fields. We went down to Philadelphia to see the Yankees play the Phillies. So what I got from my dad on July 7th, actually the day before, we're going to fly out to Chicago on July 7th. The Cubs have a game at 12:20 in the morning against the St. Louis Cardinals. And then at 7:10 in the evening, the White Sox have a home game against the Toronto Blue Jays. So we're going to go to a doubleheader, two games, one day, two stadiums, four different teams.
Hopefully St. Louis doesn't make it go into 14 innings.
Then we leave early. You know, just to see the other stadiums and everything.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's not like one of those awful Chicago middle of the summer days. I mean, because nobody wants to be out in that.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't rain.
But my dad, I think, was kind of speechless when I gave him that. So
I
got to buy the airline tickets and everything. I'll give that another week. Then I got to buy the airfare, figure out how we're getting around there. But that'll be kind of cool.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it really, really would be.
So there'll be a Tuesday in July where you won't be listening to your pals.
Yeah.
Or if you tried to listen on our website, like now.
Right now.
So that is that. All right, let's move along. We're not going to take a break now. We'll plow right through this as nobody's getting back to me. That's wonderful. So, they tell you when you are with somebody that you should be yourself. You should be comfortable with them. You've heard that, right?
Yes,
I have. How comfortable, until things went tragically wrong with you and the soon-to-be ex, how comfortable were you with her?
Let's see. That was very. You start to get comfortable. I mean, I could fart like a circus elephant around her.
Sure, bring a pachyderm into
and
this.
She would go, "It stinks." I go, "Of course, it's a fart."
Oh, aren't you just obvious?
Yeah.
So you felt you could be comfortable right away.
Yes. Well, it took a while. It took a while.
See, there are certain things where I am comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and then there's certain things where still, God Almighty, we've been together close to 20 years when you talk about dating and things.
Right.
And I'm still shy. It's kind of ridiculous. But I found an article. There's 12 things couples should not do in front of each other. Number one, going to the bathroom. It says peeing is fine, pooping not so much. I don't even like to pee in front of somebody else. Even in public restrooms, I'm more of a stall guy than a urinal guy, though I will use a urinal if I have to.
Yeah, I like the stall. Because it always splashes back up.
What splashes back up?
Like when you hit the urinal, the pee splashes back.
You're not supposed to be humping it. You're supposed to.
Damn, you know.
But your balls are so low. It's. But have you ever peed in front of another woman?
No.
Not even the wife?
No. I think that's a very private thing.
How about pooping?
No.
I
lock myself up like I'm in Get Smart.
I do too. The wife, I think, gets annoyed that I will not pee in front of her. I don't think anybody really wants to see pooping. I don't think anybody's. I mean, I guess, though, if you live in an apartment and, you know, you got one bathroom and it's small and somebody's pooping and somebody's got to put their makeup on or whatever to get to work, I get it. But really, who wants to do your face with that going on?
I don't want. I could not, you know, sit on the ball while somebody comes in and does their makeup. You know?
What happens if you had diarrhea? Then it's streaming out of you.
Yeah, you know what?
I mean, there are certain situations where that is the logical thing to do.
Yeah. I've always been spoiled. I've always had a two-bathroom house. So it's never really
been
an issue.
Yeah, but even in a hotel. Go away in a hotel, you know, with your wife or girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah. If it was diarrhea, I'd be like, get out. I'm coming in.
Get out. I'm taking a shower. I don't care.
I'm taking a shit.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been in that situation, but yeah, I wouldn't want that. If you want to call in on this, number's 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. So we both are not peeing. I think my wife would be all right with me peeing, with her peeing in front of me.
Really?
How about Joanne?
No.
No, she
Joanne?
Doesn't. What?
Joanne, no.
Well, I don't know. I'm not there when she's doing her business.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know
why.
So I'm not in any of your other long-term relationships?
No.
It says the same. It says farting should be off limits.
Nah.
I understand why. I understand why farting should be off limits. Because let's be honest, after those noxious fumes or those trumpets of anus come ripping out of you, nobody wants to go, I can't wait to hit that. Because it kind of gets trapped in your underwear.
Right.
You know, you really do need to bathe and sandpaper yourself after, you know, you just let it rip and everything. That being said, farts are going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a poop where you can kind of plan it. I mean, a fart is a fart, and, you know, at this point, it's let her rip. I mean, but here's what I don't like, the whole excuse me thing. What, does that make it better? Why? Why can't we just laugh at it and move on with our day?
Well, I would, you know, I would walk around the house, and if I let one rip, I'd go, stupid ducks. Yeah.
Because she never heard that before. Yeah. Well, I think we have an infestation.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're mallards or what.
Well, sometimes she lets one go.
Yeah, of course.
And I go, really? Really?
But do you think less of her when she lets one go?
Sometimes, yeah.
Why? Because she's a woman?
Yeah, girls don't fart.
But clearly they do.
You never hear it, though.
So how about this new situation? Has farts been exchanged here?
No.
No?
No, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf.
So what do you... right, please. So what do you do when you drink a lot of beer? Sometimes the abdominal bubbles. What do you do? Are you running out? I mean, because it's not like the old days where you open up the car door, you let the lady in, and you walk around the long way of the car, and you fart, 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 fart till you get back in the car.
Yeah.
Now we all have electric locks. So so chivalry is kind of dead, and so is the out for letting out the steam.
Yeah. No, I've been very lucky so far.
Very lucky so far. Take that as a warning. This will not hold forever.
Yeah.
This dam will burst. Yeah. The ducks will fly again.
With my bladder, though, there was one time we were coming back, and we were on the Belt Parkway, and I had to go so bad. I had to pee so bad. So it was a snowy night, and I go, look, I go, I'm about to explode. So I pulled over in the snowy, you know, in the snow, and I went and I took a leak with her in the car, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
That's not, but she was watching?
No.
All right, so that's not bad.
Yeah, but still.
It's not like you pissed in a Snapple bottle while she's next to you.
Hold the wheel, please.
I know I could do with my knees, but just I don't want to get any splash on them. You hold it. You'll understand.
And Joe's girls thank me for holding it in.
That's nice. That won't last. And here's the thing. The more you hold it in, the more chance of it coming out and being worse.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. If you have blue balls build gas.
Really?
Yes. Like you've never had blue balls.
No, I never knew that.
You're a blue hawk, of course you
have. Yeah, of course.
You've never had blue balls.
Oh, when I was a kid, yeah.
And that makes you fart, too.
Yeah, but when you usually have blue balls, it was like when you were 17 with somebody. So you needed, you know, you're trying to move in, so the last thing you needed to do is fart. That would blow the whole deal.
Right, but when you have blue balls, you have such abdominal pain, and then you get this buildup of gas, and it's just a really... When things collide, a collision of terrible. That's really what it is. Because now you feel like your balls are like as huge as basketballs hanging beneath your knees. Your stomach hurts like somebody did the speed bag with them. And now you got a fart. And you almost want to fart in front of them to punish them for doing this to you.
But I've always found it was tough to fart with blue balls because everything is so tensed up. I mean, your ass is locked tighter than a crab's ass. You know, nothing's going anywhere.
You can still fart.
Like a vault. Nah, sometimes not, because you have to let the ass muscle go, and everything is so tightened, it's just all held in there. It hurts. That's half the reason, because it's the gas that's being held in there along with the blue balls.
Well, I think we all think less of women when they fart. Mm. I think women should just expect us to fart.
Yes. Because we're disgusting.
Yes.
We're disgusting animals.
I don't know why we have to say, excuse me. Once you go, I do, we just have.
It's like a lion going, I can't believe he killed that zebra. Because he's a lion, stupid.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess you got some of these guys that don't fart in front of their women.
Yeah.
And we call them fags. No.
I had one guy was working down at Uncle Vinny's one night, and I'm on stage, and this guy is on a first date, gets up, he walks over to the side of the club, and blows his nose, and I go, you're on a first date, right? You're on a first date. Well, yeah, I go, look, I go, he got up, and he blew his nose so you wouldn't hear. I go, he's going to shit with the door open in about 2 weeks.
What do you think about the nose blow? That's not on the list.
The nose blow, I would say on a first date.
Well, I don't know. On a first date, keep your mucus in.
Right.
I mean, but no. I mean, when you've been with somebody, do you let it blow like it's a shofar? On Rosh Hashanah?
Let's say, if you're in a restaurant, maybe you want to excuse yourself for a moment.
Whenever you're in a restaurant, there's people around.
I understand. But no, if you're in a car, you got to blow your nose.
Even if it sounds awful?
Yes.
All right. And would you think less of her if you heard all that snot coming out?
No.
Okay. Plucking ingrown hairs of the pubic variety. I don't even know what this is.
How?
I mean, I guess...
In front of the other person?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to be spread eagle. When is that happening? I've never been in that situation.
I mean, it
sounds painful.
I wouldn't know where to begin. I never heard of that.
No. So, yeah, I think I'd be a little grossed out if my girl was spread eagle plucking away at her vag.
Yeah, that's what they say. Just sitting there with a mirror
and
tweezers.
Yeah, that's a little much. A little clinical.
Yeah, I mean, if it was shaving or trimming, that's kind of like sexy. But if, you know.
Is it? Is that sexy?
Yeah.
All right. Say so. Would you let her watch you manscape? Maybe she thinks that's sexy.
Maybe.
Have you ever?
No.
No, I've never manscaped.
I'm very
shy. It's a jungle down
there. I'm very shy.
I don't blame you. No. I'm shy, too. I'm shy, too.
I'm starting to come out of my shell a little bit.
Yeah, it's not so good. You're better in the shell. No. Like an escargot, which you are familiar with.
Yes.
Number four, we don't have to go in order. Just bleaching, waxing, any area where the sun does not shine. So I guess we're talking about privates again.
Yeah, I guess.
Have you ever seen... Well, you said you'd be all right with a waxing, watching that.
Yeah, waxing would be fine. But if somebody wants to go, I'm going to bleach my asshole now. Build up a seat.
Yeah, you know what? Like my wife has helped me with other regions, mm-hmm. but nothing with the privates.
Yeah, I know. Now I would feel weird down there.
Yeah, it's very intimate, but I guess it's a little much.
Yeah,
it's a little much.
Yeah,
but we're supposed to be very comfortable with our loved ones.
Not that comfortable. I don't know if that, you know, when it comes down to that, I don't know if it would be that comfortable.
Putting on Spanx. I guess that's like when you're hoisting your, like, sausage-like body into something that, like, restricts you. I mean, I don't know.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
You're admitting you have a problem if you have Spanx. Yeah, I mean, you're admitting I'm a little portly, but we're going to lie to the world. But you're no longer part of the world, so right. You can see.
Because putting on space, it's not a big, it's like putting, you know, if you're naked and stuff like you're putting on your clothes. You're essentially putting on your clothes.
Right, but you're hopping around trying to squeeze in and suck it. I don't like getting dressed in front of people.
Really?
Yeah. I do not like to get dressed in front of my wife.
Really?
Yeah. Very shy person.
Really? That shy?
Very shy person.
Wow, that's shy.
Very shy person.
Yes.
Yeah, don't like that either.
No, I don't mind. I mean, if you're intimate with somebody,
I guess
if you've been intimate with somebody. I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, yeah, I guess, but I'm just a very private person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Surprised you have a child.
I didn't say I don't like sex. I said I don't like to watch. Yeah, my wife is much more open than I am, and I think my shyness baffles and annoys her.
I really could say, not me. I can't believe that. Are you kidding me? I'm not bad with that, but I'm very. You know what?
So you're putting on a show for the missus back in the day.
Yeah, I'm shyer than I thought I was.
Well, what made that happen?
I don't know.
Talking about things?
I guess. People that know me, I got a big mouth and I talk about stuff and this, that, and the other thing. I speak my mind and stuff like that and make dirty jokes. But I'm very shy.
Let's see. Examining blackheads or popping pimples in a magnified mirror. It makes it sound like if you're not in a magnified mirror, it's perfectly fine. What about that one? Don't be racist.
That's something to be done in private.
So you would be grossed out if you walked in and the missus is popping away.
Yeah.
And you would not do that in front of her.
No.
I think I actually had an ex-girlfriend who enjoyed popping mine back in the day.
That's disgusting.
It really is. It really is when you think about it.
Yeah.
But if somebody enjoys it, I guess.
I
wouldn't do it now, I don't think, unless it was like a medical situation.
Fortunately,
my skin's better, so.
If it was on your back, okay, let's change the situation, okay? If it was on your back,
yeah, steroids? I got back knee?
But if you just have on your back.
Oh, right.
And you've been with the person a while.
Can you get that for
me?
Can
you get that?
It hurts.
Can you get that for me? All right?
That's
something that you would do out of love. If it's
there has to be love if you're popping.
There are certain things. If you can't physically get to it yourself and it's hurting you, then I wouldn't have a problem.
Well, then I guess it's an emergency situation.
Right.
But, I mean, the average one is on your face.
Right. So on your face, go in the bathroom, stupid. Look there, go after it with the tweezers.
You
got to
explain all the crap that's on the mirror if you don't scrub it properly.
Well, you got...
What happened in here? I don't know. A fly died. Yeah. There's a lot of blood and pus in that fly.
Well, you got to clean up after yourself,
Yeah, of course
too.
You do.
You know, but still, I mean, it's blood and pus and all that stuff. You share that with the other person. I mean, if it's on your back and you can't get to the thing and you're in pain because they can hurt, you know, could you take a look at that?
Has somebody done that for you?
No.
But you would let somebody?
No, but Joanne would ask me over the years. She goes, I have something on my back. Can you take a look at it? And I would look at it, you know, so, you know, because she can't get to it. And the only thing that's been on her back lately is me, so get off.
This one, scratching your balls. You know what? That just comes with the territory. Balls are made to itch.
Yeah.
You can't have non-itchy balls.
Yeah.
And we just kind of are, our hands are kind of drawn to that area.
Yeah.
You know, whether we're picking out underwear or there's an itch or we need to de-stick our ball from our leg.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of activity that a woman just could never possibly understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but balls were not made for speed and grace.
Yeah.
The balls, they're high maintenance type of situation balls.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I mean, it's like part of... You know, we had sex and we had this. Balls are part of it, you know, so sometimes they...
Balls, they were fine slapping your ass and on your chin. Now watch me dig in.
But women will do that, too. I mean, like, with
scratch their balls?
No, but... But when you're intimate with a woman and stuff like that, you've been with them for a little bit, you know, their body is now your problem, you know?
Sure.
You know, with what they go through with the period and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, the Tampax are out.
Yeah, you know, so you want it, you got to maintain it with me.
Yeah, I don't think balls should be there. Now, what about queefing? Have you had a woman queef?
No.
I think I have.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What do? You just kind of go... You don't even acknowledge.
During sex or walking down the street?
I wouldn't know the difference walking down the street.
All right, so during sex?
It would have to be when the privates are on display.
Hey, well, then it's part of the deal.
It is part of the deal. I don't think you can acknowledge something like that. You know? I think
is it during sex or just walking around naked?
I think it's during sex.
During sex, then you know, then it's part
air
of sex.
Air fills in.
It's part of sex, you know? It's the vag. That's
yeah, you want to say something, but you can't say something.
Yeah, you want to say something, but your vag is that you're there because of the vag. That's why you're there. If it wants to
I'm there for the human connection, Joe.
But if it wants to burp, so be it.
I think it's just the courteous thing to pretend it never happened.
If they call you on it, you know, if they make a comment about it and go ha ha ha, then you make a little.
And they're not like a guy; they don't go pull my finger and they queef.
You never know if you're in the meet, you know, and you hear that, you know, you can make a little joke. Say, oh, sorry about that. If the woman brings up the queef, it is perfectly acceptable to make fun about it. But if she doesn't say anything, you know, then ixnay on the old quiffin' a bay.
Taking out your Invisalign because of spit or spit ever, I think that's like a retainer. You know, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. You know, it's the deal. If you're sleeping with somebody and they got the retainer to work on their teeth or the Invisalign to whiten their teeth, I think that's part of the deal.
You know what? You got to deal with stuff like that because Joanne had this a night guard thing she would sleep with. And that thing would always be because she
kept her from biting you.
Yeah, well, she clicks her teeth at night. It's like sleeping with a canasta. So, but she has
a canasta. This
yeah, you mean the Spanish things?
Oh,
a cassinet. Sorry.
Also, it was a card game.
She's playing with a card game.
It's like sleeping with a card game. What are you talking
asshole.
About?
It's like sleeping with a. That was a good joke that I just fucked up. It's like sleeping.
You fuck
with
up the bad ones too.
Yeah. It's like sleeping with a castanet. So, no, but she's got a night guard, and sometimes that thing is out in, like, water, and it's like, it's disgusting. But,
well, I mean,
I'm not
asking to play with it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's still out there, you know, I'm not like, put that thing away.
Listen, man, I think even when you get older, you know, if you grow old with somebody, dentures are kind of come out, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Inserting or removing a tampon. Yeah, I don't think I ever need to be around for that.
I don't want to be around for that.
No, I mean that's a little much.
Yeah.
I would say, ladies, we get it. They're around the house.
I don't think a woman will want to do that in front of somebody else.
Maybe you're dating a pig. I don't know.
You know?
But, I mean, that, you really have to be in an open relationship.
That's a little too open.
That is very intimate.
That's a little too open.
Here, let me shove this up. No, you can't go in there. I'm shoving cotton up there.
Yeah.
Or I think taking it out is even worse than shoving it in.
Yes, of course. There's blood.
It's the worst magic trick ever. Went in white, now it's all red and bloody. Ugh, this is terrible. Don't want to be here for this game.
Oh, resounding between Joe's girl and Lisa. Never. And we won't. They don't want us around.
Well, it's good. We weren't asking.
Yeah.
How come you never let us watch you insert tampons? I mean, that has never crossed my mind.
Yeah. No, that would be something. No, I wouldn't want to be around that, you know, around that for the, for that. Yeah, it must be disgusting. I guess, you know, it just be a messy thing that women don't want to do, you know.
Yes, it's disgusting.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's part of nature, but it's disgusting.
Yeah, I know, that whole part of nature thing. Have you ever had to go buy tampons or anything like that?
I don't think so, but I would. I mean, I know it's supposed to be this whole comedic episode where you buy, and I'll have batteries and a power drill and a Pez dispenser and the maxi pads. Yeah, I mean, I know that's a whole comedic thing, you know, kind of like when you have to buy condoms. But yeah. Listen, it says one of two things. It says, listen, you are living with somebody
yeah.
in an intimate relationship, or you still live with your mom. It says one of two things.
That aisle, because that aisle is usually where the tampons and the condoms are. They should just put embarrassing shit. Aisle 12, just to go down there.
Where's everybody listening to? They're listening on Hawk, right?
Yes, they're listening to Hawk. So everybody go to Lisa's on Hawk, Joe's Girl's on Hawk.
All right, everybody's on Hawk.
Yeah, so everybody.
Everybody's on Hawk.
Yeah.
Some people can. I don't know. This is what happens when our site goes down.
Yeah.
Never goes down, but today's the night.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. Stepping on a scale. Again, very shy about that. I don't know. You know, I don't. You know, when I was losing weight, you brag about your numbers. Lost another pound today. Lost another pound and a half this
yeah.
week. But no, I'm not one for stepping on the scale. And the wife doesn't want me in the room when she steps on the scale.
Really?
Yeah.
I could care less than I could care if Joanne steps on a scale. You know? Like she's stepping on a landmine.
I don't think that's as bad as the tampon thing.
No, it's absolutely not. No, the tampon thing is worse. But when we were doing the Fat Horse Challenge and I weighed myself in the morning, you know, I would go in and Joanna be in there. I go, I got to get in there. I got to weigh myself to see if I got to eat stuff that's stupid conjured up for me. But, you know, it was never a problem. You know, that's not that's really not embarrassing.
I guess. Fucking people.
Oh, sorry.
Not you. Not you.
No, because I just said a sentence. I'm waiting for a response. So you're waiting in that sentence. Yeah. You should be talking a little.
Well, I think the thing is, listen, if you're in great physical shape, it's not embarrassing. But if you're very self-conscious, if you feel you could lose a couple of pounds.
Yeah.
Or kilos, depending where you are, perhaps.
Right.
I don't know. You know, then I guess it could be very self-conscious. I don't know. I'm always, even when I'm at my skinniest, I'm always never happy with my weight.
Oh, yeah, neither am I. I think when you, I think, if you're checking your weight just to see what you weigh,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think it's a problem. But I think if you're on a diet and, you know, you want to see if you're down that week, it's one of those things where you just want to be alone. You don't want anybody else around.
Yeah.
So it depends on the situation why you're losing weight. And the time of the day that you're doing it.
For the ladies, removing your stash or stubborn chin hairs. You know, I don't think I'd be freaked out about it, but I don't think but it's not something I need to see. I don't think it's a deal breaker, though. And if you're dating, you know, certain ethnicities, it kind of, again, kind of like balls, it goes with the territories.
Yeah.
You're Armenians, you're Italians, some other ethnicities. There's going to be, you're Persians, there's going to be some hair.
Yeah. That wouldn't bother me.
Nah.
That wouldn't bother me.
I don't need that on display in the living room when I'm coming home. But, you know.
If they're in the bedroom and they're doing it in the bedroom, it's the bedroom, that's where you do, you know. I mean,
you could do it in the bathroom.
Or in the bathroom. But, you know, the bathroom is something that the door would be closed. But if you walk into the bedroom and they're doing it in the bedroom, yeah, well, it's the bedroom, what the hell, you know. But if they're in the kitchen, take that shit in the bedroom.
Yeah, I don't think you need to, I don't think anybody needs to trim their face in the kitchen.
No, but, you know. Just sometimes if the occasion arises.
And the last one, picking your nose. Ever get caught with a good nose pick, Joe?
In traffic.
Now, everybody, somebody you with?
No.
Yeah, I've gotten caught.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just. But, you know, sometimes there's not a tissue around.
Right.
There's a situation, you're getting all stuffy. You know, you kind of pretend nobody's looking. But if somebody turns at the wrong time, it's very awkward.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, it's like, ugh, all right. And because you use the look you usually get is really, really.
Yeah. You know, I think catching somebody to nose pick is worse than, like, catching them farting.
Right. No, I'd rather. Let's see.
I think the reaction is worse. I think people can accept the fart more than a nose pick. Because they figure with a nose pick, there's options. Blow your nose, stupid.
Yeah, and, you know, a fart, you know, it just comes out. No, you know, picking your nose, like, can you trim your nail to be a good snot shovel? And, you know.
What?
You ever trim your nail to make a good snot shovel?
No.
Yeah, you got to do that if you pick your nose.
I don't even know what's involved in that.
Well, you make it. You know, you bite your nail, so there's a little crevice in there, and when you pick your nose, you can get right in there, and it's, I call it a snot shovel.
That is disgusting.
Well, I do it in private.
Well, now we all know.
You're in the car.
I didn't know you're using your fingers as utensils.
Well, no, you use it as a tool. Your finger is a tool. And you make, if you got nails, you bite your nails.
Your hands are basically like the Swiss Army knife for nose picking.
Exactly. So, and you just bite your nails so it's a little rough on the edge and it works as a snot shovel.
That is disgusting.
Let's shake on it.
I'd rather not. Ugh. Yeah, I hope your hands get chopped off.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, we'll give you a golden hand like they did with Sir Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones.
No.
He was a big swordsman. He lost his hand. He's got a golden hand now. It's fine. We'll give you a golden hand.
Joe's girl said, oh, my God.
Well, hey, it's better she learns this way.
Yeah.
Now she knows that if she were to catch you, that you were getting the fruits of your labor because you worked hard.
Now she's going to look at my nails all the time.
Probably not, because she's afraid of what's going to be caught in them. You might be wearing gloves in August. Yeah. That is disgusting.
But you ever get a good gooey one with a tail? Life is but a dream when that happens. It's like when you...
But oh, my God!
What, you never pick your nose before, princess? You never pick your nose. How good is going... After a big snot is in there, and that son of a bitch is bothering you, and you make a little snot shovel, and you go in, and you hook the thing like a bass, and you pull it out, and a nice little snot tail.
Oh, my God.
You never picked a good snot? That's half the fun.
I've never described it on the air.
But that's the whole thing. The reason you pick the nose is you pick your nose is to go after a snot. So it's like when you go in, it's like fishing. You don't want to come home empty-handed. You want to go in, and you get it, and you hook it, and it's got a big gooey tail, and you put it in the napkin. It's a feeling.
What do you do
cup.
When there's no napkin? Then you just try to fling it all around?
Throw it out in traffic.
Do you ever wonder where they all land? The poor roadside crew just cleaning up a bunch of snots on the side of the road. Oh, man, the cough. That was a good one. Yeah. I got to try to get that down so I can go on with this show. I was not expecting such a vivid description of your nose-picking conquest.
Joe's girl, the pick and flick. Right.
Well, the pick and flick is far superior than the pick and lick.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
But the problem is with a pick, when you pick and flick, if it's the big gooey snot with the tail, it looks like a tail of a kite when it flies, and it can slow down it can slow it down aerodynamically.
Maybe you need to sharpen one of your other fingers so you can slice the tail.
That's true.
Since you're so utilitarian.
I'm telling you, one time you'll be in traffic and you're like, I'm trying to go for this one. You're going to bite your nail and make a snot shovel. I'm telling you that.
I don't bite my nails.
Really?
I don't bite my nails.
Oh, I know my nails.
I'll rip them.
You'll rip them?
Like I'll peel them.
Right.
But I don't bite them.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll bite my nails.
But then again, I never thought nails could be used and grooved in such a certain way. We learn with you, Joe.
Yes. Make it a good snot shovel. And that's important. As a matter of fact, we.
you're repulsive.
You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to market like a little thing that you.
I'm getting texts that we're making people sick. I feel that way too. I did not expect.
But if you think about this, if I made a little extension to go on your
extension?
Finger.
Extension?
Yeah, like a little thing
designed
to pick snot.
What are you trying to go on, Shark Tank with this?
No, but I could.
What would you want
with
this
Mark Cuban would love it. All right, you go.
Mark Cuban would love it.
You go on Shark Tank, right?
All right, give us the pitch.
Mr. Curry, what do you have? Did you pick your nose today, Mark? Well, of course I did. All right, good. And I bet you got a rascal in there that wouldn't come out with all your money and all your power. You couldn't get the fucking thing. Here's what I got.
You don't think he's got people to pick it for?
No.
All right, so here's what you got. So give us the pitch.
All right, here's the deal, okay?
The wife just walked out disgusted, by the way. She just made her face like, ew. This is one of the most vile shows we've ever had. This is disgusting.
No, it's not. It's
all right, so give me the pitch. I want to buy a product.
All right, what I got.
We're playing Shark Tank. We're playing Snot Tank.
That's right. What I got is the snot shovel. It's a little piece of metal that goes, it's like a ring, but with a little grabby on it. And you put it on your finger, and then you can put it in your nose, and it can get in there and get the snot, and it comes right out, and it's reusable. It comes in a pack of five.
Well, Mr. Curry, do you have a patent on this?
Yes, I do.
You have a patent on
this? Oh, yes. U.S. Pat Off, registration number 2000.
You've invented the technology.
Yes, 200035, a silver snot shovel. And you can...
And here's what silver!
Because basically you can have the cheap ones you buy at 7-Eleven that are made of plastic, or you can get the fancy ones made of gold or silver or whatever. And
I'm getting women don't want to hear this. Well, yes, this is things you're not supposed to do in front of women or men.
But if you're in private, you don't have to do it in public. You have your own
you're
little
doing
shot,
the pitch.
And your shots, it's small and discreet, so the snot shovel, it can fit right in a little pocket, which is sterilized, and it goes right into the pocket.
Sterilized?
Yeah, you clean it off.
How many uses does one get out of each snot shovel?
Well, it depends. If you get the plastic one, the five-pack, you throw them out the window with the snot.
You don't throw them out the window. They're not biodegradable. We're green.
Yes, they are.
How many of these have you sold?
I have sold about 10 to friends.
How are we going to make a profit if you sold a ton? What do they retail for?
Well, we haven't put it into production yet, but we do anticipate to have the plastic ones.
So you don't even know if people want to buy your silver snot shovels?
Well, from the feedback we heard from our focus group, very positive.
And how much does it cost you to make?
The plastic ones will cost about 2 cents to make.
2 cents to make?
Yeah.
To craft them?
Yes.
How is it possible? Where are these being made?
Oh, injection molds made in Taiwan.
They're made in Taiwan.
Yes.
And what do you charge for one?
I would charge five, I'd probably charge 20, probably 50 cents for a pack of five.
50 cents for a pack of pot.
50 cents for
how
a pack
am
of
I going to make money on this? You're coming in here asking for $150,000 for 15% of your company. How are we going to make money on
that? Well, let's say it's costing me about 2 cents to make. I'm selling at 50 cents. My margin would probably figure a margin of 35%, which is the average, and we would go with that. Now, on the ones that are made out of a metal, you could sell that. You can make that. You know, depending on the material you're using, sell it. Figure you're going to go in at about. Go to market at about a 40 to 35% margin on that. And
how much do the metal ones cost to make?
The metal ones depend on the metal. I mean, if you're going to get, they're going to be decorative ones where you could buy in like
decorative ones
where you could.
Do you have any examples? Can you show us?
Yes,
some?
I most have this here. Open up the case, and this is a decorative one. Take that.
Oh, this is
a
light.
Used one. Don't use that.
Oh, I'm out. You can't give the sharks a used one to look over.
I like Joe's girl. You would do better with a penis pump. Yeah, over at the Anthony Cumia show where there's a pallet of the things in the garage by the Jaguar.
I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
I don't
they
even.
Got a sponsor that sells them.
Of course they do. Hi, I'm Anthony Cumia for plus size penis pump. You know, when you have those young girls, you really want to make the first time memorable. That's why I used a plus size penis pump.
Yeah, it comes with a little thing. The thing it has is a strap that you buy if you order
a
one.
A strap?
There's a strap that you put around the thing so you could shower and put the thing around your pecker.
Wait. So you could shower? You got to take a shower to use this thing?
Yeah, that's usually when you would use it if you want to use it in the shower to enlarge your penis.
Why would you need it in the shower?
Just in case you want to wash, or maybe you're going out on a date.
Why do you need it? Why would you make it bigger in the shower? It just means more surface area to wash.
I'm not selling that. That's already on the market. We're selling my snot shovels. Now, Lisa said we can make a jewel encrusted one. You can get a one. You can go.
But wouldn't that hurt the inside of your nose?
Well, on the ring, it would be decorative around the ring. Where the shovel is, it's all business. That's the business end. So you go in. It depends with the metal. If the metal, if you're per unit cost, if it's costing you, let's say a silver one. If the silver.
Have you made any of these?
We have a couple of prototypes, yes.
You're asking me to invest money and you don't even know if they sell. Where are we going to market these?
You would market it at. You would market it in 7-Elevens, newsstands, drug counters, CVS.
Have you reached out to any of the big box stores? Or has any of them expressed interest in carrying any?
We wanted to give you the pitch first and get the capital behind it and then go out.
Wait, you know what? What's to stop me from finding a different. Listen, I've picked a lot of noses. I don't think I need your gadget to pick a nose. Why couldn't I? What's they make me use the snot shovel over a good old-fashioned finger?
Because it's perfected to grab the mucus inside the membrane and grab it and extract it with the little circular thing, which is not
mucus. Word mucus, always disgusting.
I understand. What do you think's up there? Cotton candy, stupid? I mean, Mr. Cuban? But
it's Cuban. You should really know my name. And right now I'm playing Mr. Wonderful. I'm willing to work a royalty deal with you.
Right.
I'll give you the $150,000 mm-hmm. right here for the snot shovel.
Right.
Out of that 50 cents for the plastic ones, I get 20 cents right off the top till I get my money back.
Hmm.
Would you like to take a moment to phone a nose? Do you need a pick to think about it? Tickle the old brain?
So what's the deal again?
I'll give you the $150,000. Mm-hmm. I don't want any equity in the snot shovel.
Right.
You retain 100% ownership mm-hmm. of the snot. I just get 20 cents off the top of each snot shovel.
Off the 20, that's too much of the margin on it.
Well, I don't see any other offers out here for the snot shovel.
Then I'll have to go back and find somebody, another investor. I can't, that's too much off the margin.
Well, I don't see any other sharks offering you that. No other sharks seem interested in this in the snot market.
Well, thank you for your time, and we'll go to the bank.
You're going to go to the bank with this?
Yeah.
Why didn't you go to the bank to begin with?
Because I wanted to be on TV on your show.
How'd that work out, boy? Now everybody, now America knows you're a nose picker.
Really? You should have served me in the first 20 minutes of this show.
So there you go. Nobody's investing in snot time. That was repulsive. Oh, goodness. Number to call in, 845-986-8804. Wow, that was a bit out of nowhere, wasn't that? My God. I guess he could invent something like that. But why wouldn't you just use... I guess what...
Now you're intrigued.
I am intrigued.
That's the thing. I'll throw out my nonsense, whether it's being blue
and I try to throw out your nonsense all the time.
This snot shovel or whatever, and then you get intrigued by it.
But we just showed you can do improv.
Yes.
You just need help.
Yes.
You are not a solo improv artist.
You know what? If I had prep stories, I could do. I could lead a
That's not improv.
I understand. I have never told you that I was
Saved by the Bell.
It's the phone. Somebody wants to fax somebody.
Good evening. You're listening to Davin's Den.
Hi. First, I want to just say that was so disgusting what you guys are talking about, and you men are absolutely filthy, disgusting people. Just would like to throw that out there.
This is not news. The topic was disgusting things that men and women should not do in front of each other. So.
Okay, well, then men shouldn't be talking about picking their nose or talking about it. It's absolutely disgusting.
So you do.
I mean.
You are not interested in investing in Joe's snot shovel.
No, I'm not. I mean, it's like you guys are like 3-year-olds. It's disgusting, and I have a man break up with me that's never met me, and you guys talk like juvenile. I mean, it's disgusting.
You're the one who's listening.
So a man broke up with you and never met you.
Yes.
Okay.
You were experienced with people meeting us and then immediately breaking up, Joe.
Yes. But what you know, we just happen to talk about things that are disgusting that you wouldn't do in front of somebody else. And picking your nose is something that you really would do in private or in the car when you don't think you're in traffic.
Yeah, but you're talking about it and talking about shaping your finger. I mean, I hope the guy was like you that broke up with me. I mean, ew.
Maybe he broke up with you because he didn't think you could accept his nose picking.
But this is what guys think of. We're animals. You're giving us too much credibility.
Are, but you don't have to talk about it. And you just
well, no. No, usually you don't. But when you have a talk radio show, you do. Yeah. I mean, I'm not asking you to walk into the living room and we're having a sandwich and start talking about nose picking. Oh. It just happens to be a topic on a radio show.
Look, I've got the hemorrhoid leash that I'm working on. You don't want to hear
the
about
the hemorrhoid
that.
Leash? Sure.
Yeah, but what if a bunch of women were sitting there eating dinner? You know, this is dinner time.
Well, then we helped you. We're better than Dexatrin. Now you're not going to eat. You're welcome. You know what? You didn't need to eat that. It's time you put the sandwich down, stupid. You're welcome.
Whatever. Again, it takes me back to I was broken up with, and I really hope he was like this guy Joe. And even you, Davin. I mean, you just weren't. It was disgusting.
Well, wait. When he broke up with you and he never met you, did he send you a picture of him picking his nose?
Yeah, that's what he did. No, the point is, he was saying that my emails and my texts were too wacky and too creepy, and you listen to you two 5-year-olds. And it's just like.
But here's the difference.
We are 5-year-olds.
Here's the difference. Joe and I are not trying to get into each other's pants or anybody in the audience's pants. When you're texting with a guy, he's trying to get in your pants. You're trying to get in his pants. You have to be on your best behavior, which was the point of the topic. We don't open with nose picking when we meet somebody new.
Yes, and I'm sure he probably did his.
My stuff is not crazy or creepy compared to you guys, okay?
Well, what's an example? Well, I don't know. We'll be the judge of that. Give us an example of some of these texts that led to the demise of your fake relationship.
Davin and I are friends, platonic, obviously. He's married to a beautiful woman, but I've talked to Davin, and you've wanted to hang up on me quite a few times, have you not?
Right now!
Stop it, be nice. What's the matter with you?
Not serious. But crazy is all subjective. Everybody has a different threshold for crazy. And same thing with gross. For some people, I guarantee you there are people right now that are very interested in Joe's, what did you call it, the snot shovel.
I guarantee you there's people with ears bleeding right now on the side of the road, literally taking their friggin' pencil into their ears. That's how disgusting it is.
And that's another product we can market, the earwax picker. See, genius. See, you're getting in on this.
The whole Joe Curry family of picking technology.
That's right. You're gonna want a cut of the money.
No, that's okay. I don't. I mean, but the thing is, though, you men are so visual. You're such visual creatures.
Yes.
Everything, you know, and if a woman is a little bit wacky, a little bit.
Wait, you're talking about two different things. Yes, we are very visual creatures, which is why men like to see pictures of naked women, and why women, and we'll get off on that, and why women can get off on stories like 50 Shades of Grey. It's completely different. A guy would read 50 Shades of Grey, go, yuck, and not even get a semi. Yet you throw a pair of boobs naked, a guy's like, all right, now we're in business. It's completely different. You're right in that regard.
so you don't like Fifty Shades of Grey, but you don't like Fifty Shades of Grey, but you'll sit there for a half hour talking about picking your nose and farting.
That's more interesting.
But here's the deal. There's a baby. When, you know, you're taking care of a baby, you women clean the baby, and it's all disgusting and stuff like that.
I clean the baby, too.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Of course I did, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, we don't have conversations on
really? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I have been with women when they talk about how the baby shit up their own head, up their back, and got in their hair, and they got to clean it up. Yes, you do. Women are filthy, despicable animals.
About it.
Oh, you never sat and had dinner with my mother, God rest her soul. She would tell, I would come home from work, sit down at dinner, and she'd tell me the cat threw up a hairball and this, that. I'm like, I'm eating here. What's the matter with you?
Because you needed to lose weight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So if you don't like it, then why would you do that to your listeners then?
Well, because it's 8:20. Because they should be done eating.
Because
it wasn't funny, Joe. It was disgusting.
That's your opinion, yet you're here. That's your.
It made me feel better that I was broken up with because you men are like, you guys are like.
We are. This is just in.
like this is news to her.
This is just in. Every woman knows that men are disgusting.
Yes.
Listen, I work around a lot of comics, and I've never heard such disgusting banter that I did between you and Davin. I'm just blown away.
Really, from comics?
Because they're not telling you what they really think. Joe does.
Well, and,
and if Joe has this in him, which I had no idea about, it's my job as the host of the show to create something. And we did. Some people are repulsed, and that's a very reasonable reaction to that conversation. And other people...
Okay, some. Sure. Okay. Yeah, but... And no, the point of the matter is you're talking about what you shouldn't do. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going through all my texts and my emails and the little videos I made of this guy.
Wait. You made videos of him?
No, of me.
What did you put on these videos?
Just like little videos.
Well, what were you wearing?
Low-cut shirt.
Aha!
I wear low-cut everything, so.
So basically you were trying to titillize him with your titties in these videos. All right. So now are you more upset that he rejected you after you exposed yourself in this manner?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. I was just so hideous. No.
No, but I mean, you don't know what he thinks. Maybe he thinks they're great. Maybe he doesn't.
Really?
I don't know. I'm not him. I didn't break up with you. I didn't have a fake relationship with you. I don't know. I have no idea what he's thinking.
It wasn't a fake relationship.
Did you ever meet him?
4 weeks. I never met
him. It's a fake relationship.
He had a million pictures. I would take selfies all the time, and a lot of times I would like make little videos and say, "Hey, blah blah, you know, thinking about you, blah blah blah." But then one video supposedly went too far, and then I'm going to boil a rabbit in his pot.
What was the video? What was the video that put him over the edge?
I don't even nothing. I was singing songs.
But what songs were you singing?
You think that's what it was? Or musical taste?
We're talking about his. I don't want to say this because he's a comic and I'm afraid he's going to listen. I don't want to get into too much detail.
Don't be afraid of anybody listening. It's all right.
What? What did he say? I didn't hear you.
Don't be afraid of anybody listening, dear. So what co is it?
So you don't turn anyone off because I'm your only listener. Yeah.
That's not the truth at all. You're not our only listener. People do listen, but. Whatever, but I mean, if you don't want to tell us what the video is, we can't help you. We can't guide you and say, you know what, maybe that was a little much, or it wasn't.
Was it a love song?
No, what it was is the guy was talking about his parents, his elderly parents playing bingo, and I thought that was a little creepy that this guy talked so much about his parents. So I did a video pretending I was his parents, his mother, but in a low cut dress. And singing bingo, B-I-N-G-O, just some other stuff.
Yeah, that's too much.
And you have a problem with the snot shovel. Right.
Yeah, that's too much. That is, yeah.
That's creepy.
Yeah, you're fucking wrong. You're nuts for doing that.
We must.
Why is that creepy?
Because you're dressing as his mother in a low-cut dress.
Yes. He's opening up about what his concerns are about his parents. He's trying to share some of himself, what he thinks, and then you kind of mock it and dress as his mom. Now he can never look at you in a sexual way again because you pretended to be his mom.
That's right. You're trying to seduce him dressed as his mother being seductive.
Yeah.
Doubt, so I put my hands like I had doubt.
Yes, you're trying to. Yes! I'm not trying to be his mom. His mom has this, so I did this. Yes, that's you trying to be the mom. That's that.
I was trying to be funny.
You failed. Well, no.
You should look into.
No, no. Oh, real. Whatever. Listen, it's funny, but not to the person who you're trying to have a relationship with.
Let me tell you something. I always say there's always time for a bit, but when it comes to time with somebody that you want to be romantic with, sometimes you have to leave it at the door. And trust me, I found out the hard way myself. You know, but you know, you gotta be a little, you know, could turn somebody off.
You know, it's kind of like pull my finger with your 6-year-old nephew. Fine, with somebody who you want to bang. No, you're not playing that game. It's a little much.
Did me dressing like your mother make you hot?
Yeah, I did not dress like his mother.
You just said you were trying to pretend to be his mother, seeing him bingo.
I said, hey, so and so, I am good. And I was singing bingo, and I was doing my hands like I was Gout, and he said, like, she had Bell's palsy, so I was doing the face kind of crooked. I thought it was funny.
You're mocking his sick mother. How did you think that was going to go over well?
Right. In a low cut.
Are you there?
Yeah, no, I know. I didn't think of it that way until you actually said it.
Well, aren't you glad? See, we're not just about nose picking. We give good advice.
See?
Yes. Now, if I told you my mom has an illness, and then you go on and pretend to have that illness, even though I know you don't have that illness. You know what? Bye-bye. You're an insensitive bitch. Yeah. That's what I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, I know maybe you're not really insensitive in real life, but if you did that, what else am I supposed to think? You're trying to get laughs on my ill mom after I told you what's going on?
What you could have done is you could have made a video, you know, with the low-cut blouse and like, hi, I miss you very much. I'd love to see you. You know, let's get together. And then blow him a kiss. Now, that is something that's kind of, you know, it's kind of sexual, kind of enticing, something that would get a response, a positive response. You know, sometimes, you know, there's, like I said, you know, comics are comics, but, you know, sometimes, and I always say there's always time for a bit, but sometimes it's not always time for a bit.
Impersonating a loved one or potential loved one's parents who have illness, never a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Never good.
Oh, so this is my fault.
This one is.
Yeah.
This one, if that's the video that sent him over the edge, yeah, that's your fault.
Yeah.
And
do you think he should have blocked me on Facebook after that too?
I think you really hurt him. I think he was probably getting close to you. I mean, if he's talking about his mom, he's sharing things with you, and he feels like you kind of took it and did it for a goof.
Now he blocked you on Facebook?
A lot of people do that shit. It's annoying.
Yeah, because we were texting like 20 times a day, emailing, and I never met him. He's a headline. I've never met him.
He's a headliner. It's a bigger loss. I could have had gigs. Damn it! If it's an open mic, or who the hell cares?
I love the pecking order in comedy. He's a headliner, so I'll have to accept it. If he was a middle, that's bullshit.
If it was a middle, I wouldn't even give a shit. But this is a headliner.
An MC wouldn't even give him a time of day.
He has a Showtime special coming up. I can't believe this is happening.
Hey, this guy plays VFW holes. Leave him alone. I'm still going to defend him.
Okay? Leave Reverend Bob Levy out of this.
Leave who?
Reverend Bob Levy.
Hey, I love Bob Levy. He gave me my first show. So.
Well, and now look at you, pissing off men on the internet.
But now, did you send him a barrage of videos, or was just...
I think one's enough, Joe.
Send me pictures. I don't like the way I look in pictures. I hate getting my picture taken.
All right.
That's why I don't want to do anything illegal, because I don't want the mugshot.
That's a good reason not to do anything illegal.
Because the mugshot would be horrible. So I like making little videos. So I sent him probably 15 videos, and now I'm afraid what he's going to do with them.
15
videos? That's the thing I'm afraid of.
Well, hold on. 15 videos?
For consumption. You know what I mean?
You sent him 15 videos?
At least, and now I'm going through them. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe I said that. Oh my god, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah, but that always happens. You always, with the internet, you always got to think worst case scenario.
Let's analyze this a little bit more. Why you were blocked? Now, it was 15 videos. Did he have any comments after the first several?
He loved them, but the last one freaked him out, and he's like, oh my god, he's like, I'm afraid you're gonna boil a rabbit in my pot. And I wrote, ha ha, and he's like, no, I'm serious. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I would not get stalker boil a rabbit from that. I would get insensitive bitch from that and go, you know what? I'm not into this anymore. That was too much. I would not get stalker from that quote unquote bit.
No, because you weren't stalker. Oh, is that what? Yeah,
boiling a rabbit. That's from what's it?
I don't don't
it's,
know.
It's Glenn Close is in it. It's a famous...
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction, yes. Famous movie. The guy has an affair. The guy's married, has an affair with a woman. She gets all upset with him and boils their pet rabbit.
Right. Now, let me... Do you still like this guy?
That's the thing. I sort of do. But, you know, then he I went to send him an apology video with a really low cut shot, basically.
All right. Well, don't. You're going about it the wrong way.
Stop, Spielberg. Enough with the videos.
Enough with the videos. Are you able to text this person?
Yeah, but he's not texting me back.
Write him a heartfelt thing. Say, look, I'm sorry. If you got upset, maybe it was very not cool. I still would like to be your friend. Could you please unfriend me? I won't send you stuff like that again. I value your friendship very much, and I feel like I did a disservice. Please let me know, yay or nay.
And when can I open for you?
Yeah. Give him the option.
And then I said, can I have 15 minutes?
That's the second text. But
because
stage time is stage time. But
yeah, back to business.
Back to business. Yeah, you can't let that go long. But
I'm just saying, okay, I made a joke about his parents. I shouldn't have. But pretending you have gout, a little Bell's palsy, and a little drool coming down your mouth, he's a freaking comic. I mean,
but he's a human being.
Hold on. That was part of the video? So you depicted his mother having gout and having drool coming out of her mouth.
Why isn't he laughing?
Yeah.
I thought we were just having fun. What, too much? Too soon? Comics are human.
I told you the things he said to me.
Well, why don't you?
Let me ask you as a lawyer.
As a lawyer.
I send him all these videos. Can he just put them out now or what? I mean, that's another thing.
I don't know. I mean, he's probably very embarrassed by the whole thing. He won't.
Okay.
But what? All right. Was he very weird in some of these?
Was he what?
Weird.
He loved all the videos I did except the last.
No, but was he? Did he actually like mock your family?
Did he mock my family?
The way you did his parents.
No, because he really never even asked me about my family. He was kind of all into himself.
Well, that should kind of tell you. First of all, that should tell you about this guy right there. So you're not really losing much. If you're talking to a guy for a month and he's never asking you about you and your situation, that should kind of tell you something about the type of person he is. So you're not really losing anything other than possible stage time and paid gigs.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now, have you seen him at other gigs?
I don't want to say.
It's a yes or no.
You know, that would be an awkward thing if I do see him, too. And it's like I have all these fantasies. Like, I'm going to see him. I'm going to walk like I have a freaking limp or go, whoa, you know, put my hands like a gym.
No.
But I shouldn't do that, right?
Look.
No, don't do that.
No.
Don't do that.
Look, a tendency, especially with comics, when we get in a situation that's awkward or somebody that we like, we kind of tend to act a little goofy. We all do it. That's our self-defense mechanism.
Yeah, but this was premeditated.
I understand that, but what I'm talking about is if you do see him at a show, if you like him, tell him that, you know, look, I'm sorry I said that. I want to be your friend. Could you please refriend me? I'm sorry. I don't want to lose you as a friend. What I did, I didn't know that you
would
be that
person. I got to tell you, I would not want to be friends with that person. I got
to. You wouldn't take my apology?
You know, I would accept your apology, but I would want nothing to do with you on more than just a casual business.
Oh, my God. It wasn't that bad. And
No. It was that bad. Trust me. What you described, it was that bad. I cannot imagine doing that to somebody who I like, let alone somebody who I don't like. I can't imagine doing that to somebody, mocking their ill parent. That's terrible.
I know, with the gout and the
drool.
Didn't
you workshop that with the other comics? Didn't you go, hey, before you made the video, what do you guys think about this? Didn't somebody go, no.
Now, let me ask you.
I wasn't taught that in my 5 comedy classes, not to make fun of comics, so maybe that's not my fault.
No, it wasn't me. You can make fun of comics. Don't make fun of their parents.
Yes.
That's the rule. Don't make fun of people.
Okay, so I feel bad, and if he blocks me and not answering my tap, then I apologize. You know what I mean?
Well, you've done all you can do. Take it as a lesson learned. There's nothing.
Yeah.
He's not in the wrong. I would be so upset if somebody who I loved or even liked or even was an acquaintance of mocked my sick mother in that way for ha-has. I would be so pissed. All the awful things we do and say to each other, never done anything like that. We've never even...
I look sexy with the spit coming out of coming down.
Nobody gives a shit about what you look like. It doesn't matter. You're pretending to be his mom. It's not funny.
You can't try to look sexy with gout and spit running down your face. I don't care how low cut your top is.
Yeah, seriously, your tits could be flapping into while you're doing jumping jacks. Nobody gives a shit at that point. It's over. The train has left the station.
I met him only on Facebook, so it's hurtful that I was broken up with by somebody I don't even know.
I think he's got a bigger complaint. I think it's hurtful. I think it's hurtful that you friggin' mocked his mom.
Oh my God, Davin, really? You're that sensitive?
Yes, because I'm a human being. That's how people kind of like their parents for the most part.
Now let me ask you a question.
Because he wasn't even Jewish. If he was Jewish, I could understand it. But he was like Catholic.
All the more reason to like your parents if you're not Jewish.
Yeah, those Jewish kids care about their parents. Catholics don't.
Apparently, you really. Why don't you alienate the Catholics now, listening?
But you have to agree that some people are sensitive to things that you might not realize. Now you at
right, but I've seen his YouTube videos. This guy puts down people from Asians. To people missing limbs.
Yes, but not somebody who's romantically involved with their parents.
Let me tell you something. I have friends that are comics that rip people to shreds that when you goof on them, they turn into the biggest babies.
Well, wait a minute. Now, hold on. I say terrible things on stage. I say terrible things to you. I take a lot of abuse. Still, that being said, I think I always have that unspoken rule. Hey, don't goof on somebody's loved ones.
You know what? Yeah, you know, because as nasty as you and I get, and we do get nasty with each other, we've never brought up our families.
No.
Now, that's an unspoken rule.
Yeah.
Now, just sweetie, just like at the beginning of the call, you know, we're discussing the snot shovel, and we're just having fun and not thinking people are going to be disgusted.
Well,
and
I thought they might be disgusted.
But still, you know, and then you call because that had, you know, that really got to you where you called us. The same way where you did the whole thing with the drool and the goiter or the gout, and you thought that, hey, you know, it's a joke. I'm going for a joke. And that really got to him. So there are instances where you'll do something comedically that you think are funny or in context that people might not get upset about but actually are. You're this guy that you liked felt that way about the joke, about just like you felt about the goof that we were doing here.
Also, you know what? If you're trying to, I know you're a comic and this guy's a comic, whatever, and you're trying to get to know somebody, that's not the time to, like, try to make laughs. You should be able to have normal conversation without going for the laugh. You should be able to talk about real things, and it sounds like he was talking about real things, albeit his own real things and not asking about you, but he was sharing what his thoughts are.
Oh, yeah. Really hope he's not listening to it. He talked about his parents so much to the point it was just like, it was my way of saying, shut the fuck up. You know, I don't need to hear about their golf game and you know, her AARP card expired. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but did you ever say to him, hey, how come you don't ask about what's going on in my life?
No, he asked him, but you said, like, my parents, I told him my mother died, so what is he going to ask? Is she cremated? You know what I mean? So, I mean, there was just not...
Yeah, but, I mean, do you have any other family members?
No, well, not parents wise, no.
But let me ask you a question.
We could do my act now, Davin.
No, please don't.
Do my father.
No, please don't do your act.
But here's the deal. Like, let's say that you met him. You know, things were, you know, he brushed that off, all right? And you wanted to get together. He said, all right, listen, you want to go to coffee after this? You want to go get coffee after the show? And when you're sitting and having coffee, you can't, you know, it has to be more on a person-to-person level and, you know, doing bits with each other and riffing, you know, if you want to something more in the relationship. You just can't sit there and goof and riff all the time. You have to talk to each other as people. You can't be on the time.
I'm going
to
leave it with this. I don't think this relationship was going to work for a couple of reasons. First of all, he clearly, unfortunately, did not or does not know how to have a give-and-take relationship where he asks about somebody else's feelings. You were obviously in the place with him where you're just going for jokes, so it wasn't like you were willing to open yourself up to him and say, hey, this is what's going on with me. So I don't think you lose anything in this by not having this relationship. I think you'll be fine, but I think what the takeaway from this is don't always go for the joke.
Right.
And when you are going for jokes, don't make fun of people's loved ones.
Yeah, don't make people love, you know, just keep that out of it. You want to goof on them, fine. I mean, that's comic. That's what we do. We goof on each other.
But we don't goof on each other's families. Even with comics, there's rules. Joe has talked about very sensitive issues on our show about his upbringing and everything that have been very heavy. And, you know, you never see me or Pip going for the joke at that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be jokes there, and I'm sure at the point my head has thought about jokes, possibly. But you don't verbalize it because you care about the person who's talking
yes.
to you. So you go, you know what, stupid? Now's not the time to go for the laugh.
Right, right.
That's
right.
What the lesson is for
right.
you. Make sense?
No, okay. No, I understand. It's just, yeah, but that's just me. Yeah, but okay. I it makes sense, though.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think you would want somebody doing that about somebody you really care about. If you opened up about somebody, go, listen, this is what's going on with this person in my life, you know.
No, I'm laughing because you're right. If my mother, you know, if somebody did that about my mother, I would freak out.
There you go. And if somebody told you, hey, I'm just goofing around. Really? It's my mother. Really?
Yeah, I mean, if
goof on me. Don't goof on my mother. You know, that's what we're saying, baby.
Yeah, that's
no,
it.
You're right.
All right, but hey, you know what? I don't think you lost anything with this, because he really wasn't asking you about you, which is what you do with somebody when you're in a relationship. You ask what's going on in their world, how they're doing.
Would ask me about with my breasts, basically. How are your breasts today? How are they doing? A lot of breast conversation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It really sounds like you guys had a meaningful connection.
Well, you want to keep abreast of the situation.
Oh, really?
Ugh. That was very bad.
I wish you were being smothered by them.
You'd rather have a meme right now.
I'd rather take a meme.
You take a meme right over there. I would, yeah.
That joke was not titillating. Huddle. All right. Well, I feel like a real boob. Anyway, we could go on all night. Thank you. Well, I hope we helped you.
You did. Seriously, you did. Because I didn't look at it that way. But if someone did that about my mother, I would be freaking out.
Well, you know, people come to us for emotional guidance. We're not talking about snot. It's really what we're known for.
And you know what? So there's no hard feelings. We're going to give you a pack of 5 snot shovels free of charge.
Don't even go there. Thank you.
Look at you. As seen on Snot Tank. All right, dear. Have a good night.
Take
we'll
care.
Talk to you
Thank
later.
Thank you so much for calling, and have a great night, honey.
You too.
Take
bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you can't goof on you gotta even with comics you can't goof on family.
I'll tell you during the 80s, I really was not like a ladies' man,
unlike now, Blue Hawk.
I'm not really one now.
It's hard to be a ladies' man.
But here's the thing:
it's hard to be a man's man.
I remember some friends of mine, some girls I knew said, you know. Girls have a problem with you because you're always joking around, and you all, you know, and everything is a goof, and you know,
chicks don't think that.
No, they don't. They don't, and that's why I was telling the young lady that called in. I go, look, for me in my life, it's always time for a bit, except for that.
Well, I'm always trying to be funny, like I said, I don't think she's losing much. I mean, if you're really into somebody emotionally, you're not just asking about their anatomy, no matter how spectacular their anatomy may be.
Yeah.
You hopefully are asking about the person that's attached to that anatomy.
Yeah, right.
So I don't think she's losing much. But yeah, man, I mean, I know we're comics and we're a bunch of pricks. Joe and I, two of the biggest pricks. That being said, it's just never even been discussed. It's never been, hey, let me make fun of your mom or your dad or your kid.
That's just because that's so out of bounds.
Yeah.
That's just so, and I mean,
well, I mean, now we can make fun of our own mom and dad, and then if we do that, if we're like doing it in a jovial way, and somebody wants to jump in, okay, but even then it's a little dicey.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, we were having the tech problems in the beginning of the show. We sunk our fangs into each other, but no, you know, the family never came up. You can't do that. It's wrong.
No, I know your mother would have been very disappointed with the way you were handling that. She would have been there. She would have been there chiming in, so I wouldn't have to. She would have given you the proper yelling at, so I could have concentrated on shit.
Oh no, she would have said, you know, Adam would be able to jump right in and do the improv.
I asked Adam to be here.
Yeah.
Who knew we'd never need him in such a way? All right, we're going to take our final break. You are listening to Davin's Den. We're going to be back with Scammers in a few minutes. We'll be right
you
back.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on davinsden.com, iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, RuthlessRadio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, Gone Rogue Radio, HawkRadio.net. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. On iHeartRadio, you will find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.